Welcome, family, to the Now Network. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Man up. I am taking responsibility. I am walking in my purpose with God. I am holding myself accountable, dedicated, and committed. Now is my time. Going to regain my birthrights. No longer operating with a double mind. I am courage. I am confidence. I am hope. I am faith. I am belief. And I am trusting God as the source of my everything. Welcome to Man Up the Movement with Pastor E and friends.
Man up, man up. Welcome, family. Welcome to this episode of Man Up the Movement here on the Now Network. We are live from the Now Network studios, and yes, we are simply keeping it plain and simple that it's time to step to the next level. It's time to go to a higher elevation. It's time to see God really move the newness in us as he has already done. Oh, somebody clapped on that one. Man up tonight. Yes, now is my time to fight. I am. Come on, somebody out there clap with me tonight. I am taking personal responsibility for my own life. No longer relying on my own abilities, on my own personal abilities, but on God's complete guidance. My steps are ordered by the Lord, walking in purpose with God, holding myself accountable, dedicated, and committed to a life of constant change. Go to the next level and growth. I am no longer operating with a double mind. I am operating with the Christ characteristics that dwell in me. I am the head and not the tail. We talk about something new. I am the lender, not the borrower. I am called according to my purpose. I am the God in me through the Jesus Christ who saved me. Oh, hallelujah. I have manned up. And we pray that something that we have said, something that we have exemplified has pushed you or provoked you into your purpose of manning up. No, it's not about me telling you what to do or vice versa, you telling me what to do, but it's about us finding through the word of God how he is already set in standard excellence. The head, not the tail. The lender, not the borrower. The called, according to a purpose. That doesn't mean against your mate or anything else. That means being called according to a purpose that you're the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, and called according to his purpose, not our purpose. I have to emphasize that. But this second week of every month here on the Now Network, Man Up the Movement is Mentor Me. Some will say, I have a mentor. Some say, I just know the name Mentor. But do we really know what a mentor is? A mentor is an experienced and trusted advisor. Someone is not a friend, but a mentor. Someone that leads by experience. Someone who is trusted to advise, to train, to guide, to lead, and to give advice. And we said that in the beginning. But it's not your friend, it's not your buddy, it's someone you respect as experienced this second week of every month. Yes, we're talking about mentoring me. Now, I didn't say I want to mentor you. Ooh, glory. I said from the beginning, mentor me. So this movement on the second week of every month is, what could you say to mentor Pastor E tonight? So I could say, what can mentor you tonight? Let's sow into each other every second Tuesday of every month. That mentor me means I'm opening myself up that I can receive. But in any relationship, as you sow, so shall you reap. So as I open up to receive, that's the same thing that you're saying, mentor me. Ooh, it's a barter and trade relationship on the second week of every month here on Man Up the Movement. That mentor me means I'm opening myself up to you, but you're opening yourself up to me. Now, not just anybody. Come on, say it with me. Swish. Not just anyone, because a mentor is experienced. A mentor is also trusted. Now, you could say, well, do you trust him? Can you verify his experience? No. It goes by his not experience we see on the world side, but the exemplification of the Jesus that lives and dwells in that mentor. You're not experienced on worldly things. A true mentor in the body is someone who experienced in the word of life. Then it says, and. See, that word and is an addition. So you must be experienced first. Swish, get that out the way. Mentor me. I need someone experienced. But when you can confirm experience, you know there's trust. We even talk about that on Fridays, about the 52 ways or the 52 weeks of love, that the seven ways, and there's 52 million ways that God loves us, but how we identify how he loved us first so we can love him back, so we can be trusted in love. See, your experience and a mentor is someone who has experience that has trust from God. Because before I could ever receive from someone, I have to receive from God as well as you. So mentor me means I'm looking for some experience, someone with some experience, not just a testimony, but experience that says, look at my walk, look at my example of how I have stood on the word of God, because now I'm trusted. Not by man, no, but trusted in the sight, in the presence of God, a mentor. So when I say mentor me, we're looking for experience. And when you find experience, you find trust. Oh, yeah, we're walking out there and we're following all these other things. And that's why we're here on Man Up, because we didn't get it right. And before you could ever experience anything, man, woman, or child, you must know what it is. And then you must have a understanding about it, but not only understanding, you must gain some knowledge about it, that now you can move by the word of God. I am looking for experience. And experience produces trust, not by me, but by God. Oh, mentor me. Come on. Somebody go mentor me tonight. That I can be different than I used to be. That I'm not the same that I used to be. See, mentoring is really boil down to being a role model. Not that it's my light shines, but somebody else's light that shines. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is where? In heaven. Not here on earth. Not what people say. But in the same way, Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, even when you shine, you're not shining for you. Even when you mentor, you're not mentoring for you. Even when you become a role model, you're not role modeling for you. You're role modeling because the light that shines in you, that you shine it before others, not one. Yeah, you know, you hear me say this all the time, my brothers, is that what God has done for me is only an experience that I can give someone else the opportunity to the same experience. See, it's not God that given me the experience that I give you the experience. He's given me experience for myself that I can say, tap on this, seek on this, knock on this, and you'll experience the same thing. Because your light must shine, because that's your light, just as well as my light must shine. Oh, not in my own house, but before others. So that they can say, ooh, that boy is shining. No, that they can see that the good works work through you because of God. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Oh, wait a minute. You mean I can't just stop at one level? When I'm trying to be a mentor? Oh, yeah, I'm saying mentor me tonight. But I want to set the foundation before you attempt, or before I attempt. We must be in agreement that the foundation is set. So when we mentor each other, we are about our Father's business. But set the believers an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. Oh, you mean I'm ready to be a mentor? And knowing that I must separate myself not only from what I say, but what I do. To be a role model. Second Tuesday every month, Man Up the Movement. Mentor me. Thou one, mentor me. But you know, there's a standard set. First of all, we do what we do so the Father can be glorified who is in heaven. We do what we do not to despise nothing, but that the believers, we set an example in all areas, speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. Ephesians 5, I'll break it down real smooth because you know there's an alternative to everything. For good, there's bad, and for bad, there's good. But 5:3-7 says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetous must not be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. See, we have to know, men, everything must be done decent and in order so we can teach the same spirit of decent and in order. I was sharing with a friend the other day. We got into this little happened, and you know, I have my opinion. Everybody has their own opinion. Some opinions don't match. We agree to disagree sometimes, but you know, sometimes the spirit of others can hitchhike on you. You start acting like other folks. And you don't notice it until you get in the presence of God that you were being immoral. You were being immoral. You were being impure. And it was because of your own, inability to resist so it could flee. But let. And you know, that word is so dynamic, my brothers, is because for you to let, you got to open up. For you to let, you have to let it in. But let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this. See, it ain't no question that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, covetous means adulterer, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them. Mentor me, because you're setting a standard. Knowing not to provoke you, not my child or anything else, but bring everyone up into the discipleship and the instruction, not of Pastor E, but of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Because we're looking to be blessed, my brothers. So when you do say mentor me, I just pour blessings into you. Oh, no, not my will, but I pour blessings into you. Not my design, I pour blessings into you. Psalms 1:1-3, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates when? day and night. Oh, no, 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 no. It's not time to quit. Day and night. Oh, you don't get a break. Day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of the water that yields its fruit in its season. Oh, y'all know. I guarantee you, and I'm not even looking at the board right now, but I guarantee you there's 50 people that can tell you when my season is right now. Glory. My season for grace, my season for favor is now. Oh, yes, I'm going through seasons of change. Yes, I'm going through seasons of obstacles. And I have a season of now that I am blessed, that I am healed, redeemed, delivered, and pure. Because I'm blessed not to walk in the negative, but to walk in the positive. He says, but his delight is the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of the water that yields its fruit in its season. When's your season? Oh, right now I got some fruit. Right now I got some fruit. Right now I got some fruit. Because I know my season is never dead. Oh, yeah, the trees change. The seasons on the outside change. But my season is full of grace and favor. Because I know finally doesn't mean it's over. Finally means I finally got it. I received it. I got a revelation. Finally, my brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Philippians 4 and 8. Mentor me. Are you mentoring me on the things that are true? Mentor me. Come on. I'm an open vessel on the things that are honorable. Oh, no. I need a mentor on the things that are just. Oh, glory. Oh, I need a mentor. Mentor me. Pure. Mentor me. Lovely. Mentor me. Commendable. Mentor me. Excellent. Mentor me. Mentor me, anything of worthiness to God that we give praise. Because when I mentor you, you mentor me. And guess what? Now we're mentoring each other, not on our own agendas or wills or plans, but on the plans of God. Can you mentor me tonight? This is your opportunity. Man up.
And as we open up the lines and give everybody an opportunity to speak into this, all my brothers, come on, get live, get excited. I know there's a word. I'm going to bring in my partner in crime here on Man Up the Movement, Pastor Dwayne. I know we're going to hit off on some areas here, but anyone else that would like to get in this discussion, dial one right now, excuse me, and we will mentor each other. Mentor me, my brother. Pastor Dwayne. Okay, as I said, I throw some people under the bus, and before you know it, they're not in that the position to go forward. But I say, this is dynamic that branch out and that we grow in these principles of mentoring in our own areas. Yes, it's good to come together every Tuesday night and fellowship together, but we're looking for a move that'll take this movement to another level of acceptability in God, and we need your help. So we're petitioning tonight that we work harder. We're petitioning tonight that we do better, and we're petitioning tonight that we give God all the honor, the glory, and the praise in everything that we do. But I need your help, because you can mentor me to do better as I mentor you to do better. And mentoring is, as we said, an example and exemplifying what I am putting as standard in my life that you can make standards in your life. Pastor Dwayne, good evening, my brother. How are you? Mentor me.
Man, I am blessed and highly favored, man. I'm relaxing in the Lord's hand and his might. Can't change my mind. I'm looking forward to go forward with the Lord. I like the way you put that in perspective because, you know, we have to grow up and how growing up, you know, you said let your conversation be not with foul, but it be with respect. The things you used to do, you don't do no more. You don't talk like you used to talk. You don't act like you used to act. That's over with. Now that you became in Christ, those things should be no longer among you. Those things you should be able to grow from that. So you can be able to mentor the brothers that comes into the church. Not even that. You should be able to mentor your sons and and your sons of friends. Why? Because they see a positive role model. They see a great role model. They see a guy that's doing not only what he's saying, but he's doing what he's saying. He's following.
That's a big point. That's a major point there. Because, you know, there are a lot of people that talk a good game. But to actually have the evidence of productivity in your life, that's what a mentor is. That's why we're really, really, I know you picked up on that, really connected on that, the proof. Someone who's proven to not have things, but to have went through and have stood on the promises of God, that's an example. Not someone that can show you dollars and houses and cars, but someone who you can look at and say, I know they've been through and they still look like Job. I think instead of his name being Dwayne, it was Job. Instead of that being Edward, that was Job because they went through and by their example. See, that's a mentor.
That's a mentor. And, you know, and I, since I've been in the body of Christ, you know, I do have.
You mean you wasn't always in the body of Christ?
No, man. I was a trickster. Well, I was a trickster. And then the bad part about that, I thought the devil was mentoring me, telling me how to pack this and how to sack this and how to do this. I thought the devil was my mentor. But after an idea and my mind got open, the greatest mentor that I ever fell in love with was Jesus Christ. Because he walked the perfect walk, man. He walked the perfect, knowing that he was the God in flesh, but he walked perfect.
Ooh, Jesus.
He walked it perfect. You know, and if he was married, he'd show you how to be in the marriage. That's why the Holy Ghost give us the word of God is an inspired word. It's not man thoughts, because man don't know how to act. We don't know how to act in this world. So God give us an instruction. And the instruction is the Holy Ghost. Paul breaks it down to us. He tells us how we suppose. He said, man, submit yourself to, you know, love thy wife. You know, if you love your wife, the wife going to submit herself. You know, submission means doesn't you rule over her, but she submit in a way because she love you. Like he said, husband, love thy wife. It tells the husband to love her. If you love her, she's going to love you. Submit to me to her is love. That's a role model.
You trying to start something tonight?
When they see two
couples together, you trying to start something tonight? Because
in
Ephesians 5, this is really clear for us men and women. Now, I know we have sisters on board tonight, but watch what the first verse says in chapter 5. And I know in Ephesians 5, verse 22, which you were referring to, 22 and 24. But watch how he started this. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Now, there's a lot of other things in the middle of that, but the way I truly believe this, Pastor, the way you start is the way you finish. And yes, you're going to go through some things, but if you start knowing that everything I do is imitating to be like God, everything, I must imitate God in every area of my life. And that was verse 1 and 2. It was 20 other verses in between there before it got to the marriage between God, woman, and husbands. That we had to get ourselves in order to be like God.
That's, man, we got to. And how to be ordered like God, we got to deny ourselves. We got to get out of the way. That's the problem. Oh. We can't be like God because we started trying to be in the way. We trying to have control. We want to do everything. And if we can't submit ourselves to God, how could you submit yourself to others? And as I was going to say to you, Apostle, you know, since I've been in the body of Christ, you know, and I like that because I like preachers, you know, I like to hear the word, you know, I like the fellowship and stuff like that. But, you know, since I've been in the body of Christ, and I don't know him like I know him, but I have never seen, I've never heard anything that was put on television negative about Bishop T.D. Jakes. As a husband and you know, role model after his, you know, role model. And I've been in this thing almost for 20 years, you know, and I'm saying to my understanding, I haven't heard. You know, I'm not at the Potter's house, you know, but father seeing them on the out front, I'll always see Serena. That's the same wife he was with when he was in ministry. The kids, to my understanding, I ain't seen all the kids, you know. And so at the, he's modeling, he's walking, you know, he's walking. He's walking what Paul tell us to do, be a husband, be a husband of one wife. You know, don't be out there to, having this and having that. I mean, understand he got prosperity. Yeah, he got prosperity. But I always see him as a you know, because we got a bad taste in our mouth with African-American churches. You know, they say the preachers always sleep with everybody and all this little kind of stuff. But I haven't, you know, I haven't heard nothing like that. And so when I see him, you know, I see him, I say, my God, that's a man of God. You know, that's a man of God. Even though when I hear things, when
I'm trying to hold back on this one. Oh, Jesus. I don't know anything negative about any word out about any man. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I do. I'm going to say this to you, Pastor. You instead of listening to what people are saying about somebody, you have to watch how people are operating.
Yes, sir.
And who am I connected to? Who are my friends? Who's helping me out? Who's opening doors for me? That's kind of yes, how sir. I judge a man of God, apostle, bishop, or anybody else out there. But to tell you the truth, it comes down to knowing that you see Jesus in that person.
Come on.
And not the name, and not the position, not the prosperity. Because as I share all the time, brother, you can have since you threw his name out there, and I normally don't do names, but since you threw his name out there, T.D. Jakes, if you see him today and you say, I truly believe he is doing what God has called him to do, and he is a mentor, an example of a night that if you do the same thing and give your life to God, I mean totally to him and your ministry, that which is your family, your ministry, which is your home, your ministry, which is the church, your business and everything else, it'll grow just like his.
Yes, sir.
Because God is no respecter of person. So that's why I don't throw names out there. But I say this. How did I get where I'm at? And how am I still standing in the same place? Is it by my entrepreneurial business needs or business mind, you know, how I am as a business entrepreneur? Or is it by me taking other people who are not about the same thing I believe? Whole nother show. Let's not go there tonight. But if you see anybody out there, anybody that you say that's doing God's work, you could have the same thing. Your name could be the same name. You could be in the same position, my brother, but it's up to you to make it personal. So you're not trying to be like nobody, but saying, let me look at my mentor and say, I need to be me. But I need to be me at such a level that I can have anything I put my hand to. When I put my hand to the plow, I'm going to produce harvest.
That's it.
Mentor me. Come on, man. Mentor me, Pastor.
Mentor me. And that's where we at, man. We to a point to where we're learning. You know, we're learning and how to learn. You know, we helping each other. You know, you got some shortcomings in your life. Well, let me show you how to get this. Let me show you how to do this. Let me show you how to overcome this. Let me put you in this direction. You mentor me. You showing me different ways of working. You showing me how to stay from, safe from fornication. You teaching me how to humble myself. You teaching me how to have a a desire for one girl. You know, you teach me how to have a desire for one mind. Why? Because you bring me back to scripture. You show me in the scripture how it's done. You show me scripture.
Ooh,
you got
that's so true.
You show me the Holy Ghost. You show me the Holy Ghost. And you giving me an idea. It is the Holy Ghost that keeps me. I'm not perfect. I still got faults. But if I stay in this word is going to mentor me. It's going to mentor me to where I need to be in Christ. And it's going to mentor you the same way. Because once I do receive that harvest, I will know how to hold it and give it out. I won't let it overtake me. I won't get falling. I won't get caught up in this, and I won't get caught up in that. But I will be able to mentor. I will be able to stay focused, not in a charismatic world, but I know how to focus and stay in the kingdom. That's mentor me. That's what I meant. That's what mentor me. That's why I like, you know, talking to you. That's why when I hear you do this and you do that, I see your entrepreneur, but at the same time, I see the Holy Ghost open up doors because you can't open them. The Holy Ghost opened up doors. He opened up the door to
all I can do is knock.
Look,
all I can do is ask, seek, and knock. And then he says, all doors will be opened up to me. I'm still knocking, y'all. Some of y'all holding them doors back. Open them up. Come on now. Oh, my God.
My God.
You know, my mentor told me a long time ago. He says, look, check this out. It's not about me showing you how to be this person that people go follow. It's to be a true mentor. I have to show you how to follow the true mentor.
My God.
And that's Jesus Christ. And I looked at him and I said, but you got all this, you got all that, you can do this. He said, I can do nothing without Christ.
Woo!
But you can have the same thing you see me with right now. I ain't going to give it to you. I'm not going to will it to you. It ain't going to pop up on your door. But if you see the principle of mentoring, see, I mentor you until you get there. Because Christ mentored me till I got there. Now have whatever God puts before you, because now you know how to work it. Now you know how to be accountable. Now you know how to mentor someone else that God be glorified.
My God.
Shook my world at that point. Because I was looking like, that's my mentor. He got castles and riches and multitudes and abundance. I'm saying, I'm finna be, look, I'm trying to get an inheritance. God, he told me then, he said, that ain't got nothing to do with me and you. I'm not your friend. I'm not your brother. I was sitting there crying. Wait a minute, we tight. He said, no, I love you. But he says, I'm your mentor, so you can become connected to the mentor.
Mentor. And see, I like that, man, because most people, we have to get back to understanding, because a mentor always wants you to be better. See, a lot of folks have this problem that, well, I don't want, you know, just like even the ministry, I don't want him to do this much. Why? Because he's going to be better. That's what you mentor. You want him to be better than you. That's the, because once you seem to learn a certain level, then you know you did a great job. Christ did it. He ascended to another level.
Oh,
he
came, touch
he died,
on
he conquered death. He conquered death when he was on the cross, when he endured the hard pain, he endured the hardship. When he was on a cross, you know, from Genesis to upcoming to Calvary, you know, God, he was doing. But when he got on the cross, when he got out of Gethsemane, when he got out that after the September, when he got from the field or whatever, you know, and before he got to the before he got to the cross, he endured. But he exceeded to another level. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Let this cup pass now, and that's the role model. He achieved it to a higher level. He overcame, and so the master couldn't do nothing. Say you exceeded higher and above. Now you know it's my will. Now you know.
Well,
it's
you know,
my will.
He didn't just do it at the end, my brother. He said it.
He's doing it now.
You know, Christ was setting us up the whole way. setting the disciples up, setting up the Jews, the unbelievers. He was setting us up the whole way. Even back in John 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house are many mansions. He didn't say rooms. He didn't say lots. He didn't say, he said mansions.
That's the word.
Definition on mansions, anything with over 36 rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. But here's my favorite scripture right now. This is my mentor. He says in verse 12 of that same chapter, 14 of John, most assuredly I say to you. Now, who he talking to? Me. Who's he talking to?
Me.
Yeah. Okay. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do. See, a mentor wants to see you do better than he did.
Some people say,
wait a minute, hold on, that's Jesus. You can't be, I don't want to be greater than Jesus. I want to be like Jesus because I can do greater works on earth than he ever did. Because when he left in the grave. He left off the crucifixion. He left and he went back to the right hand of the Father. Now I can do greater works on earth. Oh, my God.
Come on.
Nobody ever heard
God.
It like that. You thinking about doing greater works in heaven. It's time for us, brothers, to do greater works on earth.
My God. And that's the revelation.
Because I believe in him and the works that he did.
My God.
Greater works I'm going to do on this earth.
And that's the revelation. And he said, greater works you should do. He said,
I'm going to go through more than anybody else has. I'm going to give you the first. I'm going to give you the last. I'm going to give you whatever I got to give you.
My God.
See, that's a mentor. Mentor really wants to see you. I don't even give you this label or ask you. You call me your mentor. You know what? Because I want to see better for you.
My God.
Every time we pray together, Pastor Dwayne's ministry grows faster than mine. Pastor Dwayne's vision is elevated. Pastor Dwayne. I'm last. Let him be first. Let me get your size. What shoe size you wear? What chair do you like to sit in? That's my prayer for you, cause my brother.
My God.
I gotta pray for you, man.
What did Jesus?
We getting on a whole another level because chapter 14 of John just takes me there every time. But what did Jesus do most on this earth than he did anything else? He prayed. Not for you.
He prayed.
But he prayed to the Father. Not for anything that was going on, but to the Father. Not for an answer, not for a question, not for a decision, but just to the Father to hear him.
My God.
That's the greater works. And now we're going to walk on this earth. And we're going to show people that I can be sinless, that I can walk on one accord, that we can join forces, that we can believe, that we can be like-minded, one accord, same love, and the same mind.
My God.
That's man up. We got a whole new synopsis for man up right there. Because Mitchell and me, every second Tuesday of the month. Guess what? Pastor Dwayne, next week, every Thursday, Tuesday, is our host for Man Up the Movement called Man on the Move.
But guess what? We still are
going to mentor each other because we have to look to person, but to Jesus.
Who is
the same yesterday, today, and evermore, who is the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. I can't get in front of it. I can't get behind it. I got to get in it. Somebody need to read that whole chapter, Ephesians chapter 5 tonight.
My God. My God.
The way. The truth. The life. Transform over in the Ephesians 5 as being, what are you going to do? Be an imitator. That's what man up is. I'm going to imitate.
That's
I'm imitating him. I want to be more like him.
More like him?
Yeah, he walked. You know what? And I'm going to let you say something after this, and I know I done got on a little roll. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He did so many spectacular things in the physical. But what did it take spiritually to be able to command the sea to calm? Oh, my God. What did it take spiritually to say, don't worry about him. He's asleep. I'm going to take my time. Because all I got to do is call his name. I mean, where in the spirit do we see that we can really command the greater?
My God.
And stop looking for it to happen on the outside and get strong in the Lord and the power of his might on the inside. Man of the movement.
Go ahead,
Pastor Dwayne.
My God.
Anybody want to get in this conversation? I'm gonna release you right now, but anyone else want to get in this conversation, dial one. Come on in and get involved. But Pastor Dwayne, go ahead.
My God, that is powerful, man, because, you know, all through the scripture, we see that God always talking, if I can believe, if faith, he always talk about faith. And that's what locks up that's what gets us into the spirit, because he said without faith. So we got this faith move. If we work in faith, man, we can operate. We can operate because everything he did in faith. He didn't do it in the flesh. He did it in faith. Faith produced miracles. Faith produced results. We get results through faith. He said it in the best way. He said, lead not into your own understanding, but acknowledge me in all your ways. If I acknowledge him in all my ways, that takes faith. I have to have faith. It's a faith thing because a flesh can't do it. It's the spirit. When he spoke to Lazarus in the spirit. The flesh didn't comprehend it. He spoke to Lazarus in the spirit. Why? Because he said, I give you power over principalities. I give you powers over the rulers. I give you powers over the dark age. I give you powers over life and death. He said, life and death is in your tongue. Whatever you speak, he said, whatever you bind on earth, I bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose in heaven, I loose on earth. That's you have to have. That comes with that minister, you know, minister to me, you know, show me, teach me. He teaches us. He teaches us in the spirit. He said, you combine these things. He said, I give you the keys. I give you the keys to life and death. I give you the keys to the power. I give you keys to the sick. I give you the keys to raise the dead. I give you the keys to cast out demons. I give you the keys to get wealth. I give you the keys. Why? Because it's spiritual. It's not the spiritual brings the supernatural. To get the supernatural, you got to be in the spirit. If he said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, rulers of high places, that means that we're not wrestling in our flesh because our flesh can't see us. Our flesh can't fight the spirit. A spirit, we don't have power to fight the spirit. But who have power? Our Lord and Savior. That's why he said, I give you power. Oh, come on. I give you power. I give you power to speak in Africa and say, AIDS, dry up. I give you power to speak up in Iraq. Homosexuality, stop. I give you power to speak. I give you power to bind. I give you power to loose.
Free.
That's what we have. That's our mentor.
Free indeed.
That's the kind of mentor. He came that that you must have life more than abundantly. He didn't
say
you may have a little bit of life. He said you may have life more than abundantly. Why? Because we walk in the spirit. We don't walk in the flesh. The flesh can't comprehend with the spirit. That's why he said that we are overcomers. We are new creatures in Christ. We knew why, because we born of the spirit. Now the spirit activated. Now the spirit have authority. Now the spirit have power. Hey, Korah, my shot. He said you can speak this thing. You can't speak words. Words is life. Words is spirit. Why? Because he said what you speak out of your mouth. Life and death is in the tongue. If we speak and say that tomorrow the world gonna come together as one, we gotta believe that thing. We can't, right now,
the world is about to come together as one, I believe.
I believe it.
Every brother is coming together as one. We believe.
I believe it.
We are going to take back what the enemy has stole from us. We are going to get back to the right position. In the spirit.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, my God.
I did a thing Sunday, and I came from out of Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 17 to 23. You know, we know the story about the fatherhood of son was vexed with a demon. You know, he came to the disciples and asked them, but they couldn't cast him out. They couldn't cast him out because they planned too much church. They seen greater works he done. They seen the mentor. They seen the mentor doing everything. They seen him doing everything. But yet, you still can't believe. How long do we have to be here with you? He sent the comforter. We got the comforter. We just got to tap in.
And we got to hold ourselves accountable.
My God.
We got to hold ourselves more accountable that I don't need a good word to get connected. I'm connected.
I don't need a good sermon.
I am connected. I don't need you to tell me nothing. I'm telling myself. I'm agreeing with
my
you
God.
Because I need help just like you need help. But guess what? It's on me from now on. Man
my
up
God.
Is I release all anyone.
Woo.
Man up means. Forgive me, anyone, but now is my time to shine, not by the things of this world, but to shine in the light.
Oh, my God.
The light that changes things. So it's Jesus that lives in me. Because if I've been resurrected with him, crucified with him, no longer I who live, but he who lives in me.
My God. And you know, Apostle, that's powerful there because he said you died, you risen with me, you got up with the same power. I didn't leave you there, I didn't leave you on powerless because you got up with me. Just like not to throw things out like this, but we go back to scripture when Peter was walking on the water. Peter was he asked him. He said, Lord, if it's you, permit me to come. Peter started walking on water. Peter started walking on water. Peter started sinking when he lost faith. But the scripture says that him and Jesus continued to walk back together on the water. He walked back with the mentor. The Bible, they say that he sink when he rested out his hand and Jesus picked him up. That means that they both walked to the boat together on the water. Why?
Ooh,
because Peter got touched in the faith.
Well, watch this. You see, he's trying to start another segment of five
God.
Segments in one. But watch this.
My God.
Even
my God.
Before, see, you're talking about the return. I'm talking about the leap of faith.
Woo-hoo!
As long as he kept his eyes on the prize.
Come on, Apostle, preach.
It wasn't water. As long as he kept his eyes on the prize, there wasn't
my God.
Them sharks and fish down there in that lake. As long as he kept his eyes on the prize, there was no harm, danger, or fear.
My God.
A lot of us are looking at the stuff underneath our feet right now saying, I can't handle it.
You just took my word. You just said, Holy
a
Ghost
lot of
just
people
gave me this.
Right
God,
now are
God.
Looking under our feet saying, I can't handle it. I can't do this. But guess what? I know you can't because you ain't got your eye on the prize.
Confirmation. I'm gonna study this.
We preaching tonight.
Go on and preach that Sunday. I'm gonna preach that because you just gave me confirmation. You know, as we was talking about the water, when Peter was walking out on the water, Peter started thinking because he starts thinking about his surroundings, where he used to be.
He started listening to the disciples. Peter, what are you doing? Are you crazy?
Come on.
Nobody walks off a boat. Then he looked at the storm and all the troubling that was going around.
My God.
Then the waves, I don't even believe the waves started acting a fool on him.
Shock. Call
him.
Oh, my God. Call preach that preacher.
Well,
my God,
walking,
Lord Jesus.
Because he kept looking. You know, God. I'm gonna help you out tonight. I hope all of our listeners don't implore us with this. But don't you know this relationship with Peter and Jesus started when he told them to get in the boat?
Because
they said, you know, this is their second boat experience with Jesus.
Come
remember
on,
the first
man.
Time, he was in the boat with them in the sleep and everything. He said, oh, peace. All he did was spoke a word. He said, peace be still.
This was
their second experience with Jesus in a boat. Oh, my God. The first time, they had to shake him and wake him. And all he did was raised up and said, are y'all tripping? Peace be still. Woo! Peace came. Here go the second time. They just fed 5,000.
Woo! Come on. You better work that thing. You
they coming up out of there,
bro.
And he said, get on the boat and go to the other side.
The other side.
Because, see, they already, listen, they had already had a boat experience with him, and they was willing to say yes. But when he got to the end, he said, okay, I'm going on the mountain. The rest of them got unconscious because they went to sleep. Peter stayed awake. And the whole time, I believe, his focus stayed on Jesus. Even when he couldn't see Jesus on the top of the mountain, he was looking for Jesus.
Come on. Looking for a mentor. Looking for a mentor.
He says, meet me on the other side.
Other side. Woo, my God. Come on, preacher.
He's been up 12 hours. He ain't had nothing to eat. He ain't even had nothing to drink. He saw Jesus on the water. That had nothing to do with nobody else. But you know, when he jumped on the edge of the boat tilted, and it woke everybody up. Don't you know the noises that came on him right then? He had already got on the water. He was already reaching towards the mark of the high calling and everything in the world.
Come on, preacher.
And I need somebody out there to hear this tonight. Every time you look to Jesus, everything that you thought could have came comes.
My God.
You are no different than the disciples.
No
different than Peter. Even though you have stepped out in faith because you go to church, because you pay your tithes, because you sing a song, because you listen to the frog talk. No different than Peter. All you got to do is reach your hand up and say, Lord, save me.
Save me.
And your life will never, ever, ever, ever be the same.
My God.
That's a revelation in that whole experience. 5,000 people fed off of 5 loaves of bread and 5 fish. Come on now. It's a miracle about to happen. And now they are being tested. To who? Watch this. They are being tested to who will stand with Jesus.
My God.
And it didn't just happen when he was on the water. It happened when you're connected.
My God.
Connected to Jesus, you never get tired. When you connected to Jesus, you're never looking for another way, another thing, another anything. You keep your eye on the prize. I'm delivered. I'm changed. I'm new. You started this, man. I'm sorry, y'all. Please forgive us out there tonight, my sisters and my brother. But you started this.
Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost. Why? Because somebody needs to hear
this. This is not a mysterious walk. If you've ever heard that I serve a mysterious God, that's a lie. Because everything
that's
I just told you was miraculous. Everything.
Supernatural, baby.
There are records in the books. There are scribes that had witnesses of everything that Jesus did that was miraculous. The world will tell you was mysterious. The world will tell you that he can't be your mentor. They hung him on the cross. The world will tell you he can't be your mentor. They buried him. The world will tell you, how can he roll that rock away? The world will tell you, how's he back with God? Because the world don't believe that he was God in one.
Come on.
But now we must be the testimony to tell the world that he is real, that he is alive, and that he can change your life right now. That's my job.
Right now.
You know, we talk about having a purpose. You hear what I said tonight that has never heard it this way, that says, "Woo! I have a new way of thinking about God right now, because it ain't about nobody else. It's about me." My ex-gangbanger, my ex-thug, my ex-dope dealer, my ex-pimp, my ex-hustler, guess what? He'll do the same thing for you. He's no respecter of person. All you have to do is say yes.
That's it. Yes.
Oh, Jesus. I was going to say, y'all got one out of me tonight. No, you got one out of me tonight. Oh, my God.
My God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Anybody else? Come on, dial one. I see everybody else is getting ministered to. And we have people on this broadcast. I see everyone else is being ministered to. But I want to say this. This movement must grow. Madison, Wisconsin is locked in. Houston, Texas is locked in. Orlando, Florida is locked in. Los Angeles, just like California, the whole state is locked in. But we need other brothers in other states to say, I want a covenant to share what it is to man up. Not to say I'm under Pastor E or Pastor Dwayne or anybody else, but to covenant with us. And maybe I don't say it enough, but don't you know that covenant, the reason why I use it so strongly, because covenant has nothing to do with me or any person, place, or thing. Covenant is of God. And when I covenant to God, and I say covenant to you, that means you answering to God now. When you say, "Oh yeah, Pastor E, I covenant with you, I'll be there at 8 o'clock," and you show up at 9, I ain't tripping, because I was there at 7:30, and I did all I was supposed to do and you. But guess what? You're in covenant with God. So be careful about covenant with me, because I'm talking about you and God getting in covenant, because that's who you're gonna answer to.
Yes.
But when we covenant as brothers, it says, I don't care how strong or how big or how this or how that you are, we believe that God can change us if we stand in covenant with him, because now we're worried about what he's going to think. Now we're worried about how he's going to how are we going to have to answer to him and stop answering to man. Because I'm going to tell you what I want you to hear. I'm going to tell you what I think is going to get you to do more. But God will give us, watch this, the desires of our heart when we have his desire at our best interest.
That's it. That's it.
Man up. Any closing words tonight, Pastor Dwayne?
I just say, you know, we just got to put it in face value, you know. And that's what we got to do. We got to put it in face value, because we don't put it in face value, it'll never be achieved. God put his life in face value, because he know we mean so much to him. We mean it so much for him. And for him to come and die and be hung on a cross and went through all this beating, lied on, cheated on, he know that we mean the world. We mean so much to him. And so we got to understand that. And how to be mentors, the brothers that looking at us or the sisters that looking at the sisters, we got to understand they mean so much to us. We got to represent Christ right. We got to represent Christ the best way we know how. Then let the Holy Ghost do the rest. You know, let's come out of our denial. You know the things we doing ain't right. You know the stuff you doing ain't correctable. You know the stuff you doing ain't leading you to Christ. Let's go back to understanding. Let's go back. Let's say, Lord, we need you. We need your guidance. We need to look back at the role model. You need to put us back in perspective. Put us back in place. We don't mind about getting back in place. Why? Because you never know until you open up your mouth. You've got to make mistakes to make it to get to the perfect. And how to get to perfect is you get into Christ. You made mistakes in the human life, but you won't make mistakes in the spiritual life. Why? Because he never guides you. I just want you guys to be blessed. Just take your time. Let God do the rest.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
And God is no respecter of person. And what God has for me, he has for you. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't get discouraged on yourself. And please do not give up or quit. But know tonight that you've heard a word of life, not of condemnation, a word of life. Life changes things because life comes from Jesus. Jesus is a light. As we said earlier in this broadcast, is that as I am a witness to the light, I now am a partaker of the light, that now I can share the light. I want you to shine for anyone under the sound of our voices in agreement. This Man Up team, Pastor Dwayne, myself, is we want better for you. We want to see God bless you better. We want to see him grow you better. We want to see him expound you better, give you a better revelation, give you more than he gives me. So every time you see me with something, you know you're about to get better, a better word. Oh, he preached. You know you're finna preach a better word. Oh, he healed five people. I'm finna heal 10. Oh, he brought 30 to the Lord. I'm finna bring 100. He's going to do greater in you, and that's my prayer for you. As I pray for you, you pray for me, we pray for each other, and we develop a fellowship of brotherhood.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, we're growing. We know who to call now. We know it's not 911. We know the brother to call that's going to tell us the truth and hold us accountable to the brotherhood of Man Up, that it's not just sugarcoating it. Oh, you should know it's going to be the truth. Brother, you tripping. Hold up, homie. Back up. How you going to go there? You need this. Whatever you put in, that's what you get out. Those are the things we want to share with each other. Those are my closing remarks to everyone tonight. Put in what you want to get out. And see the glory of God grow in your life. God bless you guys. You are loved.
Can I give you a
honored
testimony?
Yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Come on.
I want to share this. Since I've been, talking with you and, you've been guiding me and helped me and stuff like that and been praying for me. You know, I just got ordained at the church, at the pastor. And, I've been telling you about my daughter. You know, she turned 18. Man, her was best of friends, you know, and as she got a little older, she ended up deciding to left and stuff like that. She went to a guy, got a boyfriend, and she didn't want to go to school no more. Well, her mom called me because I've been, praying. You know, I miss my girl because, men are like the best of friends. And today her mom called me and told me that, something went down, whatever. You know, that was the enemy, and God moved the enemy out of the way. So now my daughter, she missed me. She told her mom to make sure I get her phone number so I can call her. Now she want to go to college. She had a college gift. She had a college. She was going to go down to Minnesota, a scholarship. She was going to go to Minnesota and play volleyball. And so by hanging out with this dude, she can end up losing the scholarship. But I know God going to put it back together. Why? Because he's putting everything together. He's putting everything together. You know, since I've been humbling myself, since I've been, fellowshipping with you, and I'm learning things and stuff that's getting broke out of my life and stuff like that. No, because, like you say, my daughter, she was always in church with me. She played the piano and things, and she helped me with the video recording stuff. And so I've been praying that God would give me back my best friend. And I just want to give you that testimony, man. I thank you for your prayers, man. I thank you for, you calling on me.
Prayer works, man.
Prayer works, man.
Prayer works.
And I thank the network for doing that for me, man. And that's my testimony. I got a number. I sent a text message. I'm waiting for her to get off work because she works. She got off at 10, and then she got another job. But I'm praying that God's going to open up a door, and that tuition that was there for her is going to come back. She's going to leave Madison. She's going to go where she want to go. She's going to go play his basketball because she want to be a therapist. She want to work in a hospital for animals.
Mm.
She love animals. So glory to be God.
Glory to God's glory in her life. To God's just for him to open up those doors. I'm so convinced that when we learn to get to him and relationship, because none of our prayers have been particular about anything but to him. I want to know you more. I want to love you more. I want to be more like you. I want to imitate you. I want to pray your prayers. I want to throw them out. My life has changed in the last just, you know, because we just crossed over. But that was one of my things in crossing over, that I would never pray for myself, but I pray for everybody else better. Now, you can go on and hitchhike on this thing because it's working. I ain't even going to ask for nothing. New business opportunity, new situation. Just things are just flowing. And it's not because of anything mysterious, but the miraculous faith in God. It can work for you too. Just got to give and watch him give back to you. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you too, man of God.
Love you all. You are loved, honored, and appreciated. In Jesus' name, join us tomorrow for Pressing Over the Hump with Pastor E, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that's straight up. We are still in the series of words and the power they hold. God bless you. Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.